what basically happened is that I was finishing setting up the cookie, Sikelens cookie and T-shirt table at the fair, and two police officers who obviously already knew who I was walked up to me and looked at me and pointed to me and asked me to come over, and I said, "Come over, you come over." And they're like, "No, come over. We want to ask you some questions." I walked down to them. Already knew what it was all about. I walked down to them, and I'm like, "Yes." And they started asking me, you know, my name and whatever. I said, "Well, I don't really need to answer any of these questions. You know, it's my right, right?" And my reluctance to do that just caused them. They said, "Well, you're under arrest." And I'm like, "Well, what for?" And they wouldn't say what I was under arrest for. And they cuffed me. And then I'm like, is everybody seeing this? I'm getting cuffed and nobody's telling me what am I arrested for. And it wasn't until after people started looking and there was this camera rolling and whatnot that they decided to say, well, okay, you have a Canada-wide warrant for your arrest. I'm like, okay. So they take me to the car, but I'm still like, I'm here screaming. I'm totally freaking. I'm like, please don't let them take me. Please don't let them take me. Like, I know what's going to happen now. Please don't let them take me. I'm going to die. And people out there were like, don't worry, we're going to call your lawyer. And there were some people, familiar faces, friends of mine who, like, they knew who to call already and whatnot. The march was coming in. The International Women's Day march was coming in from OISE. And as they saw the women coming in, the police officers saw it prudent to turn around the corner. So they turned around the corner from the Girard Street entrance of Ryerson. So they were still within Ryerson campus, but they were around the corner in the street. So they were parked there for a good over half an hour. Parked there, calling me in, basically trying to verify the whole situation, telling them, well, we have someone in custody that was reported, da, da, da. We want to bring her in, and brought me back in over there at the station. At the station, though, well, I was cuffed, right? At the station, they took my jacket. Because according to them, because it had strings and I could hang myself with the little beanie strings in it, and they took my shoes. They took out the strings of my shoes and took my shoes because they said that I could throw those shoes on somebody's face. So here I was with a sleeveless top and walking on my socks in this cold floor. Put in a cell, waited until this immigration officer came in, and he says to me, well, because you're a bit rowdy and you resisted arrest, that's what they said, that I resisted arrest, you are going to be sent to the Vernier facility for women instead of the Comfort Inn. And I'm like, I never resisted arrest. I don't know what they're talking about. And he's like, well, the officers said that, and I'm inclined to go with what the officers are saying. And I'm like, you can go with whatever you want. I did not resist arrest. Never mind. On my way out, they're putting shackles on me, and I'm like, I'm freaking here. I'm like screaming at them. I'm like, excuse me, why are you putting, you, please don't put those on. First I said, please do not put those on. And the guy is like, well, ma'am, I just need to do my job. I'm like, your job? 500 years my people have gone through this shit, and you still want to put us through that? No, you're not going to put the shackles on. And he's still telling me that he's going to put the shackles on. I'm like, what are you so afraid of? Am I going to run away from here? There's 10 police officers. There's a freaking detective in front of here. Where am I going to run to? Why do you need to put shackles on? Like, why is there a necessity? Oh, well, regulations and like, regulations? I screamed at all of them. I'm like, you guys are afraid of the big black, bad black woman. You are afraid of the big bad black woman that is come here to break down the freaking system. That's what you're afraid of. You know, all of them, about 8 different, you know, police supervisors and chiefs and whatever bullshit they were. But whoever they were, their heads down, not one looked up to me to say nothing. Not one could lift up their eyes and look at me in the eye. because they know it was bullshit what they were going on with anyways. So, yeah, as I was saying, well, that was the treatment back there. I mean, and all that process is one person during the transportation from the 51st precinct to a Vernier facility. There was one person that, you know, I felt was very, very supportive of me, in a sense. Like, I don't really want to put her in evidence or anything, but there's a sister that came through, a police officer or whatever, that was very supportive, was supportive enough to, like, give me an eye of, like, make me feel that I wasn't alone at that moment, you know, and gave me strength. And I would like for her to know that I appreciate that, but at the same time, I don't want to put her in any jeopardy for her job or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and then here, well, what can I say? I mean, I slept in a secluded, segregated area for a bit, and then they passed me over here, and here is like max security. I haven't seen the sun since I've been here. I haven't been outside this walls since I've been here. They tell you what to do, when to get up, when to eat, when to do anything, when to do your laundry, when to shower. You know, I just feel that a lot of these women could help, you know, could use a lot of help as well. But I also feel blessed of the fact that the help is there for me too. I feel incredibly helped. Blessed, but I think I've been put here for a purpose, you know, and I vow to this. I definitely vow to this, that if a Canadian system, a Canadian government allows me to stay in Canada, I'm gonna do outreach work for the women's jails, man. Because there's gotta be something done. These women are in total isolation.
Mm-hmm. Do they get a lot of visits? Can you tell? Can you tell if women are getting visits? Like, do they make a lot of calls? Like, what's the...
You can make calls. You can make calls. You can... receiving calls is a hard thing. You can receive calls from your lawyers, though. But you can make calls, collect calls only. If you're going to receive a visit, it's like 2 days in advance. That 24, I think it's 24 or 48 hours in advance, that that the request, that the person that wants to visit needs to make a request. I mean, and when you come and see the visitor, and when you go to your visitor, it's like, it's a glass, it's across a glass only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what to mean for having women in these conditions.
Yeah.
I don't understand what so much threat that they pose. Get searched 5 times a day and shit like that. Whenever they have to go from one place to the other. I wrote a little piece today, and I was hoping to read it on the air, if you didn't mind. Okay. Can I do that?
Please, please.
Okay. My dear friends, I fell in this pit, dug for me by envy. Didn't see it. It was covered by hypocrisy of hate. Hate with a familiar face. This is no joke. I'm in jail. Not guilty of a crime, but as a woman with no status, I'm treated as a criminal. What is a criminal, anyhow? I'm in a maximum security range. Met an inmate who stole food, 2 others that stood up to their husband's abuse. Some rob or sell drugs to survive. Please tell me, who is the criminal? Is it us in here? Or a system that put us in here? Who is the criminal? All I want is to be free. All I want is to be safe. I want the chance to raise my children in safety. The chance to build a better society for them. That is not much to ask, or is it? I'm in a maximum security range because I was not quiet or meek. I cried out to the troops coming in from the march, please don't let them take me back. Please don't let them send me back. I knew you would have my back, and so you did. In all my sisters, brothers, and allies out there, I find my strength. I'm standing strong on my book, on your backs. And on the backs of all those who came before me, because of you, change shall come. Because of you, I still have hope. I know for a fact that my time to die has not yet arrived. Tiko basi igilehin ogbamanwo. If defense is not propped, it will fall and collapse. Yoruba proverb. I just cooked up that in like 2 minutes now, in like the past hour. But yeah, what I can say for the most is like women's necessities, basic necessities are really denied. Like black women need, for example, products for their skin, products for their hair, and in reality, per capita, there's more black women in here than there are any other race, right? And those rights are denied. Your friends and family cannot bring anything from outside, cannot bring nothing from the outside for you. If anything, they can bring money for you, and you can invest that money in a canteen, what they call a canteen, which is like a supply store or something that you submit a request to. So if you don't have the money in by a certain date, when the canteen comes through, you cannot get any stuff out, you know. Anybody wants to come visit you, it takes 2 days for the request to be processed. I don't know, it's like, it's crazy. That's all I gotta say, it's crazy. I mean, if it's not because of the constant support of my friends and the fact that I know that everybody out there is like really supportive of me and sending me positive vibes from the outside, I'll be going crazy in here. I'll be pulling my hair.